lie down and then you
with poop.
Initiating startup sequence.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Papa Hotel Lima Echo November radio check.
Papa Echo November, good afternoon, Ritu 5.
Good afternoon, Ritu 5 as well, Papa Echo November.
I'm John Jacob Schmidt. You've just tuned in to Radio Free Readout, and thank you for joining us tonight for our fourth ever broadcast coming to you live from deep inside the American Readout. Radio Free Readout is the voice of the American Readout and a voice in the wilderness, informing, connecting, inspiring, and providing aid and comfort to lovers of liberty who found themselves feeling like strangers in their own land. Well, if you're a God-fearing patriot looking for refuge, you are not a stranger to us. Also, a special shout-out and welcome to those in other future emerging readouts and safe havens across America and around the world. And don't think we've forgotten you patriots trapped outside the wire now in hostile territory, surrounded on all sides by an endless supply of haters of American ideals. You're on our minds and in our prayers. Welcome back, loyal followers. For those of you who are new to Radio Free Readout, we welcome you and are excited to have you joining us live this Sunday evening, June 26th, 2011. If you happen to be listening between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. or 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mountain. If not, you're probably listening to the uploaded podcast version of the broadcast. And if you'd like to catch us live, you can do so by joining us at those times every Sunday evening on the blog. And that's at radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com. And remember, if we're broadcasting live, the Stream Monster player should begin playing automatically. Hit your refresh button if it doesn't. So we've got quite a bit of material to cover tonight. We want to get to it, but first, let's take a look at some of the news from this week that could impact you as an American patriot living in or headed toward the American Readout. Or another safe haven region somewhere in the world. I'm sure you've heard about the resurgence of turmoil in Greece with calls for the cash-strapped nation to come up with 50 billion euros. The troubled state will be voting by the end of June on what government-owned assets it will be able to liquidate in order to raise the money owed to its lenders. Of course, I read somewhere that the borrower is the slave to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. But, what nonsense. Everybody knows there's two documents that are antiquated and don't really have any relevance today in our enlightened world, the Bible and the U.S. Constitution, right? On Monday, CNN's headline read, Greece prepares to sell off state assets. That's assets with an ETS. Of course, if you left off the ETS, it would still be an accurate headline either way. The government is taking a strong look at the privatization of airports, highways, and state-owned companies, as well as banks, real estate, and gaming licenses. Given the past history of governments to run any enterprise, it's probably a good thing to privatize these things anyway, one would think. I mean, then those things would be efficient and profitable, except... do you really think it will be Greeks owning these enterprises? If I were a betting man, I'd say it will be foreigners. Watch this unfold and see if I'm wrong. Globalization rolls on. It's very entertaining to watch. The government proposes reducing the public sector workforce by 150,000 workers, and they will also face changes in working hours, practices, and wages. And the plan also sets out to change social benefits, including pensions and unemployment aid. Ooh. You want to see people get mad? Take the free treats and goodies away from a public worker and just sit back, sell tickets, and watch the riot. President Barroso said in a written statement, the only way for Greece to return to growth and create jobs in a sustainable way is to restore competitiveness and put its public finances on solid footing. Dang, that sounds familiar. Blah, 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 blah. All of these people, the nation's leaders, they're all reading from the same script. Of course, it's looking like Ireland and Portugal could be headed down the same path, and that speculation caused the European markets to take a huge drop earlier in the week. But many experts are saying that the way this goes, so goes the rest of the world, and so they're watching it very closely. It'll likely add to the woes of the U.S. economy because just the way they wanted it, we're all chained together. So hang on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a bumpy ride. In the American Readout, we take you to Idaho. This story isn't new, but we want to bring it to your attention in case you haven't heard or haven't been following it closely. Back on December 31st, that's 2010, the Idaho Statesman ran an article titled, Chinese Company Eyes Idaho, with the subheading reading, as economic power shifts to Asia, Idaho's location makes it a prime site for an industrial foothold. Well, I fear that this will be more than just an economic foothold. Right now, these Chinese communist-owned corporation, or this particular corporation, Sinomax, short for China National Machinery and Industry Corporation, is looking into expanding into Idaho to build a self-contained city under the model of what are called special economic zones. And they're not just looking at Idaho. They also have delegations working with the states of Ohio, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. There is concern, of course, that these so-called special economic zones will only turn out to be autonomous zones for communist Chinese and will net a marginal employment benefit for the U.S. or otherwise Idaho citizens in this case. The link to the Idaho Statesman article is located on the highlights and resources page for today's broadcast. That's week four. This topic's been brought up by a couple of our listeners, which is very timely because we'll be exploring this topic in much more depth in next week's broadcast. I have some of my own thoughts on the matter, and I'll be looking forward to sharing those thoughts with you then. And hey, a couple of victories for the good guys to announce. For our fellow freedom-loving countrymen in the otherwise leftist state of Wisconsin, we bring you this bit of good news from Jeff Mayers over at Reuters in Madison. The Wisconsin Senate on Tuesday overwhelmingly approved legislation that would legalize the carrying of concealed weapons in the state. The bill, which needs approval from the Assembly, carried the Senate by a 25-8 vote. The legislation mandates background checks for those seeking permission to carry concealed weapons, but it would allow them in most public places except police stations, courts, schools, and businesses that post signs. As a side note, if you see a business posting a sign restricting firearms on their property, I encourage you to politely and professionally inform the management that until they remove the signage, you'll refuse to do business with them, and you'll tell your friends to do the same. I did that recently at a place that I was processing alone, and I was true to my word. And I have told everybody that I know about that place and to avoid it. So when you see that, just politely tell the management that you disagree with that and your reasons why. But don't get into a debate with them. Just tell them how you feel. And until they change their policies, you will not be changing yours. The story goes on to say that the concealed weapons could also be carried in parks and taverns. Of course, we all know alcohol and guns go together like water and oil. So the first time a CCW holder shoots someone in a bar, that'll be the end of CCWs for everyone in Wisconsin. Maybe I'm wrong. Nope, I'm not. I give it a year, maybe two. The bill's author, Republican Senator Pam Galloway, said she supported it because of sparse law enforcement presence in rural areas of her district. See, this is bittersweet for me. I mean, good job on introducing the bill and getting it passed. But why don't you support it because it's the constitutional right of every free citizen to carry a firearm? not because of the weak argument that law enforcement is sparse in your neighborhood. Even worse, law enforcement is abundant. They're more than often not able to protect you when you find yourself in a deadly force encounter. Anyway, baby steps, right? We're talking about dealing with liberals. This is Wisconsin, so that was a victory. A huge victory for unborn babies, at least in Indianapolis. The Indianapolis Star reports that the consequences of efforts to prevent taxpayer dollars from going to Planned Parenthood are now being felt. In Indiana, Planned Parenthood will stop treating Medicaid patients and lay off two of the three specialists. Is that what they're calling them now? After $100,000 in donations it had been using to replace state money ran out this week. Aw, poor specialists. Let's have a moment of silence. That's enough. Propaganda alert. Again, we have a propaganda alert from our beloved USA Today. Once again, they fed us with enough material to produce an entire segment dedicated to it. But we don't want you vomiting wherever you may be listening. The headlines read, Republicans need to become a more diverse party. Where in one point in the story, the writer says, it's about reaching out to people who don't look like you. And in case you missed it, this story comes right on the heels of a headline that came out last week titled, GOP slow to reach out to Hispanic voters. So what is the underlying message of this pre-election campaign? Psst, hey, minorities. The GOP, the Republicans, they don't care about you. White people hate you. Don't vote for them. You know how else to bring down a nation besides destroy its economy? You divide the people and you turn them against each other. Divided you fall. And if you take the bait, we're going to fall hard as an American nation. Now, I want you to listen to this upcoming soundbite. This is a different story. Tell me if anything is missing. That was from a segment from the opening of U.S. Open. That was the golf tournament. We only played the portions of the Pledge of Allegiance and not the military ceremony portion that was played intermittently throughout that segment. You could see the video and hear it for yourself in full length by going to the highlights and resources page for week four. There's a lot of videos on that are out and available now. NBC announcers did make an apology on the air, apparently about 3 hours afterward. Although there was outrage and NBC apologized for the supposed slip-up, I'll let you decide for yourself. But do an internet search for the story posted on the various different sites. Look at the readers' comments that are being posted, if you can stomach it. And note how hostile and aggressively anti-Christian and anti-American heritage some of these comments are. That anti-Christian sentiment is growing. Okay, what else do we have? Oh, hey, also, thank you to USA Today for reminding us to wish the Chinese communists a happy 90th birthday. The article bringing attention to the fanfare surrounding China's near-century success, complete with photos of Chinese citizens in brightly colored clothing and singing and smiling and living in their utopia, their benevolent and divine leaders created for them. Of course, it didn't mention the oppression over its people and the human rights abuses and its aggressive anti-Christian policies, its one womb, one baby policies, just to name a few. But other than that, what a huge hit. I say we could use some good old-fashioned Chinese ingenuity in Idaho. What do you all say? Well, let's have to send a suggestion to Governor Otter. He's already a step ahead of us. Okay. The link to that story is on our resources page for the show. But in case you didn't realize, the photos in the online version of the story are not the same as the ones that were in the paper version that came out this past week. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We got a lot more, so don't go away.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
All right, what direction were we going? I lost track in all the excitement. Hey, Violette Sabo, good job on those points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us. I always look forward to those. You just nail it every time for me. See, there's hope in our future after all. Last week, we mentioned a couple of Patriot events, one of which was the Clingers Festival and Second Amendment Rally coming up on Friday, July 15th. That'll be held at the State Line Speedway at 6 o'clock p.m., of course, just outside of Post Falls, Idaho. I misspoke last week in announcing one of the keynote speakers, and I corrected the mistake in the highlights and resources posting from last week's broadcast. That's week three. But if you remember, I announced Dr. Marshall Foster as author of the book National Day of Prayer. When I was researching him, I found that he actually spoke at an event on a National Day of Prayer. And I guess I just had that stuck in my head and my mouth ran away with my brain. So, sorry. He's not an author of a book entitled National Day of Prayer, to my knowledge. But anyway, he will be speaking, as well as NRA Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre. And for more information on that event, you can visit the Tea Party Patriots of North Idaho website by going to idahotea.net. If you have an event coming up in your neck of the woods, send us an email at radiofreereadout@gmail.com. Get all the details, times, and dates to us, along with any other pertinent information, such as costs, if there are any, and we'll gladly announce those for you. Help us help you. Help us help you. Enough of that. Now, the American Readout serves a purpose, actually multiple purposes, but primarily to provide a regional safe haven and refuge for like-minded, God-fearing patriots who wish to stand their ground and protect liberty for themselves and for others. There are a lot of patriots out there who all share the same concerns and passions as the rest of us, and the rest of us that are promoting the American Readout, the concept of it. But when you get to the God-fearing Christian part, you get one or two people in every crowd that start squirming a little bit. Some people have posted on blogs and forums that they don't feel like they'd fit into Rawls's Christian Readout, so they rule out the American Readout as an option for themselves. But they're otherwise patriotic. They love the ideals of America. They see the signs of danger. They're making preparations for their families and are networking with other preppers. They just don't see themselves as particularly religious. So they don't think that they'd be welcome in the American Readout. And you know, that's really unfortunate that people feel that way. The Readout region already in its present state is strongly conservative, generally right-wing politically and socially. And still, there are a lot of people here who aren't Christian. And you know what? We all live together. Religious people aren't throwing rocks at so-called non-religious people or keying their cars or chasing anyone around with pitchforks or burning witches at the stake. And yes, we have our fair share of witches just like everywhere else. Wiccans or whatever they call themselves these days. We want to strengthen our numbers so that we can hopefully one day avoid persecution. Not so we can just turn right around only to persecute others. That's not what Christ taught. And so-called Christians who did so in the past, they were straight up in the wrong, flat wrong. What we want, however, is a community so saturated with people who are grounded in their faith in God and in the ideals of liberty and Americanism that there's no way a Bible could ever be banned from entering a school. That the parents, not the state, are sovereign over their children. And that those children may be protected by their parents from being exposed to anything the parents don't feel is in the child's best interest. That the display and the presence of the Ten Commandments at our halls of justice, could never be challenged, much less removed. That our children don't have to be indoctrinated into accepting the homosexual lifestyle as part of their mandated school curriculum. And a free citizen will be able to own and carry any weapon he so chooses to defend his home and his homeland. That our tax dollars will never be used to support programs and services that are contradictory to our moral conscience. To choose leaders with a system in place that holds them accountable when they mismanage the people's tax dollars. And to be free from continuous observation and surveillance by those same elected leaders and their agents. We're citizens who are bold enough to remind their elected officials of their constitutional duties aren't categorized as potential domestic terrorists, and to create a place where you're punished for your crimes, not your thoughts. Anyone who wishes to avoid relocating to the American Redoubt because you don't feel like you're religious enough, you're missing the point. If you want to join the American Redoubt and enjoy liberty and safety among like-minded patriots and stay unreligious, you're more than welcome to. And you can do it without fear of reprisal. I will say this, however, the wisdom of any one single man among the founding fathers over 230 years ago surpasses that of nearly every so-called intellectual high thinker we have today, combined, in my opinion. That, combined with the fact that God guided and inspired them and had his hand in the work they did to forge this nation into what it became, I'll listen to their advice anytime over what anyone living in my lifetime has to say about what America should look like. We have not progressed. We have not become wiser. If anything, we've become more degenerate and decadent. So what did the founding fathers have to say that we should take heed in? This is what Benjamin Franklin had to say. And have we forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. Slam! Couldn't have said it better myself.
See, the founding fathers weren't Christians. He never mentioned Christ once.
Oh, jeez. You're hopeless. In George Washington's admonitions in his farewell address, his speech, September 19th, 1796, he said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports, and let us indulge with caution the supposition," that's how you say, in other words, be careful if you think, "that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles." John Adams said the Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I boring you? All right. My point here is that we tried as a nation to move further and further away from God. Everyone wants to stick their finger in their ear and yell, la, 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 at the moment Christ Jesus is mentioned, or God, or even just the word religion. Whew, Mufasa. But look where that's gotten us. every step we take away from our religious roots, there's a measurable and undeniable consequence upon our society. Don't you see it? Do you really think the collapsing of our economy, the global economy, the increase in violence, the breakdown of the moral fiber of our country, the hostility toward one another, the outbreak of wars, the destruction of the family, the corruption of government, the sexual perversions of our world's political and business leaders, the infidelity, the emotional, spiritual, and financial and physical trauma of the nations and the people in the world? Do you really think all that is just happenstance? I'll tell you what it is. In a word, it's satanic. That simple. Now, if you want to stay out there in the middle of that, because you don't want to be around a bunch of stuffy old religious people, that's your choice. If you want in, you don't have to handle snakes or do any chants or rituals or ancient ritual Indian blood packs. You just move here, knowing that the majority of the people around you love liberty and will protect you like their own, so long as you never become a threat to them. And they'll expect the same from you. It's not that difficult. And it's not a cult. It's people who are Christians and Americans. They love both, and in that order. Who was the bozo that said this sounded like a cult? Now, if anyone in the American Redoubt movement ever offers to sell you powdered Kool-Aid mix in bulk, then you might want to start getting a little worried. That's when you walk away. Before I move on, just remember, humanity is a thin veneer that comes stripping off the very instant the restraints of civil order are removed. Just like we've seen on display all around the world in recent events. There are good people out there who would help you in an instant. But there are also predators out there, and I mean evil, evil people who all they need is the opportunity. Trust me in this. I so know what I'm talking about on this. We're not asking, nor do we expect every patriot or every Christian patriot to move to the mountain states. That's not practical or realistic. But if it's right for you, then do it soon. You can't delay much longer. There will be redoubts that emerge in other parts of the country, and those places will need your leadership and participation to succeed. I didn't say succeed. I said succeed, succeed. Of course, the Texas redoubt just might secede. They're a wild bunch. Never know what they're going to do. Now, those are some red-blooded patriots to the core. The spirit of the Texas Republic. That's what we need, a little sprinkling of up here. Alabama's going to be a tough spot. So is Mississippi and Missouri. Georgia, the Appalachians, Utah. There are several others. And some of you are where you are due to a number of different circumstances, and you're not in an area that'll emerge into a redoubt for patriots. Some of you are just going to have to dig in and do the best you can with what you got. And that's fine, too. And we'll be praying for each other just like we all should be doing right now for our Christian brothers in hostile territory right now, all around the world. We're preparing for future persecution where other Christians are dealing with it every day, right now. It's not a future event for them. It's their world. It's their reality. We need to be remembering to pray for them daily. We're going to go into that in next week's broadcast. But with a little twist, we'll be talking about the persecuted church and the future church in America, some of the challenges it's facing now and will be in the future, and how that affects all of us. So now we approach the theme of today's show. I took the scenic route, like usual, but I think those things needed to be said. We all need to know where we stand on certain issues, and we need to keep repeating those themes and those precepts. Those line items. The question we need to ask is, since there's already so many people that are like-minded, why do we have to formally organize a redoubt? Couldn't we just do that once we needed it? Should be easy enough to do, right, with that many like-minded people? I'd like to say yes, because that would mean I could do a lot of other productive things with my time besides spending hours and hours getting a radio show together that only lasts for an hour once a week.
But I do this, we do this, all those of us who are involved in Radio Free Readout and the American Readout, like Mr. Rawls, Chuck Baldwin, because we believe that we have a window of opportunity, that if we don't begin formalizing this movement, we'll be behind the curveball. If a collapse, I'm tempted to say when, but if a collapse, total devastating collapse happens and our government is rendered ineffective, there would be a power vacuum. You don't want anarchy, trust me. And you don't want order to break down other than something temporarily, because when that thin veneer of civility goes stripping off, then Darwin gets to have his day, because that's when the theory of survival of the fittest rises to the occasion and becomes reality. Someone will step up to take control. Make no mistake about it. It's happened in the past, and when the opportunity presents itself, there will be no shortage of men who see their moment to become little generals and warlords as groups vie for power and control. That's if a foreign invading military doesn't jump up at the chance to strike the giant while he's down. Do you remember the movie The Postman, starring Kevin Costner? You got to see it if you haven't. If you haven't seen it in a while, watch it again. When some catastrophic or pivotal or otherwise significant event takes place, which renders the sitting government useless, incapable, or otherwise unable to continue functioning in an official governing or ruling capacity, it can lose all control and order over its territory and its people. When that happens, then what happens next is the potential for what I call the Bethlehem effect. In the movie The Postman, which is a post-apocalyptic, post-nuclear war movie that takes place some 10 or 15 years, it's set 10 or 15 years after this major catastrophic event, global nuclear war, whatever. I haven't watched it in a couple of years, so I'll have to do that again soon. But in the absence of an acting government, in this particular region anyway, in the movie, a warlord rose to power. He declared himself a general. General Bethlehem was his name. And he ended up building an army of what were self-described wholenists. The name was brought up by General Bethlehem after being influenced by some writer or author whose work General Bethlehem had read. I can't remember the whole story behind it, but the point being that when this power vacuum was created by a lack of a functioning government, someone was going to step up to the plate, and he did. And he was ruthless, ruled with an iron fist, and was a tyrant to the citizens living throughout the region. That was a movie, I understand that, but when you watch it again, pay attention to the little details and read into the circumstances and his motives. Even though it was just a movie, they really did a good job of exposing the human nature that comes to the surface in that type of environment and when the conditions are just right, I think. And even though it's just a movie, the history books are thick with real-world examples where men fought for power when no government was present or effective enough to quell it. When we come back from the break, we're going to take a look at just a few examples from recent history to make this point. We're going to discuss what happens when there's no system in place to meet tyrants head on and to restore order. Or when you want order, maybe you should be careful what you ask for. The Bethlehem effect, and more when we come back. This is Radio Free Readout. I am John Jacob Schmidt. Don't go away.
Welcome, and thanks for listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout, the emerging safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-loving American patriots. Hello, this is Anya. I invite you to join us by tuning in right here from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific or 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mountain, where you can listen to Radio Free Readout's weekly one-hour live radio broadcast hosted by John Jacob Schmidt every Sunday evening. If we're broadcasting live, the Stream Monster player will begin playing automatically. If it doesn't, hit your refresh button. If you happen to miss the live broadcast, you can scroll through the list of previous broadcasts located to the right on the blog and listen to them using the Podbean player. With the Podbean player, you can listen 24 hours a day or download the files or embed the podcast file in your own blog, website, or social networking site such as Facebook so you can share with your own audience. Again, thanks for listening. God bless.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Readout.
And it goes a little something like this.
Welcome back to the show. That little scratchy intro, diggy diggy music thing means we're about halfway through today's show, and we were just getting to introducing the main theme for today's show, which is what we dubbed the Bethlehem Effect. And we're going to get into that here in just a moment. Remember that you can visit our highlights and resources page for week four to find links to much of the information that we mentioned during the broadcast. So you can check out some of that at your leisure if you wish to. God bless America. That's what I say. That's what I hope for. That's what I pray for. But there's a turning away, and we've seen in the past what happens when God's people turn away from him. Lord, help us all. But if his blessing has been removed from this nation, may God bless the American Redoubt and every other future redoubt that emerges, as well as the remnant of all God-fearing patriots who may be trapped behind enemy lines, wherever those lines may be. If you aren't in a refuge area, a redoubt, and you have to go to ground in place, then you're there for a purpose. So continue preparing yourselves and make it count. Just remember to monitor Channel 3 so you can better your chances of linking up for mutual assistance with other redoubt-minded people like yourself. Can you imagine if the people in the story, the postman, could have coordinated among each other? If they had a way to communicate, you know, before General Bethlehem could rise to the level of power he achieved? There are numerous historical cases and data to demonstrate the dangers and vulnerability to communities of a power vacuum that's left behind when a governing power disintegrates and loses its effectiveness to maintain order. In one particular real-world case, an invading and occupying army abruptly withdrew from the country it was occupying and operating in. The temporary indigenous puppet regime that was in place during the occupation crumbled, and almost immediately warlords began positioning themselves and fighting for power. Bands of criminals and highway robbers carried out grotesque acts against any men, women, and even children that they crossed paths with. And the leaders who assisted the foreign military in keeping the citizens in line were eventually hunted down and executed. The group that carried out the killing of the leader and his cronies, they took power very quickly and dropped the hammer on the brutal crime and warlords that were duking it out for control. The people wanted peace at any cost. They were tired of being brutalized. And this new group came in and established order. It was the ultimate martial law. But that's what it took to bring an end to the random violence and carnage that was the cause of the people having to live in constant fear. So this new group that took power was gladly and readily accepted by the people because now there was order. That's a good thing, right? I mean, that's all the people wanted. But soon afterward, this group began adding laws and precepts and started instituting laws. And when these laws were violated, corporal punishment was carried out by patrolling religious police. Soon people were being beaten, jailed, or worse for things like trimming their beards, not wearing burkas correctly, for flying kites, listening to music, and even for hanging pictures on their walls in their homes because it was an image of a living thing. Even having the image of any living thing, even a painting of an animal or having a stuffed animal, that was an image of a living thing, and it was banned. And getting caught breaking the rules came at a steep price. It didn't matter if you were a man, a woman, or a child. You could be beaten right there in the street until you couldn't even move, and that's what they did. Any ideas of what group I'm talking about? Some of you do. I just described to you briefly in a nutshell the Taliban's rise to power in Afghanistan beginning in 1992. The people wanted order. They wanted peace at any price. They got peace. But when you're willing to pay any price, the price is always higher than you bargained for. Once everyone got behind the Taliban and its power grip took hold, there was no prying it away from them. But of course, It was for their own good, because the religious police of the Taliban was looking out for the people, and that's what happens when you beg tyrants to take control. Of course, tyrants nearly always come as saviors to the people at first. C.S. Lewis said, "Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive." Sorry there, Violette Sabo. I'm stealing your material. Let's take a look at another one. I won't make you guess. We're going to take a look at Somalia. Oh, yeah. They haven't had an effective functioning government for 17 years. Some argue that it's been over 20 years. This example is a great antithesis for those people out there saying there should be no government at all. You know, you anarchists who think everyone should just live his own life. That if we all did that, there wouldn't be a need for government. Well, there's a big gaping hole in your theory, because not everyone thinks we should all be left alone just to live our own lives. There are people out there just waiting for the time when there's no government so they can pounce on the folks that just want to be left alone and live their own lives. We call those people predators. They're out there. In Somalia, the country's broken into fragments that are ruthlessly run by brutal warlords. Murder and rape are normal, daily occurrences, as well as the deaths of innocent bystanders as warring factions regularly grind against each other in bombings, assassinations, reprisal attacks, and running battles. There's one group that has the best shot at restoring order. And some people in the West, or in these little think tanks, believe we should back these guys in order to bring stability. And the group they have in mind? The Union of Islamic Courts. Yep. Can you say Taliban 2.0? The supposed official government has fled, and most of them reside in Nairobi, over in Kenya, or over in Ethiopia. They're spread out. But the bottom line is that where there was a power vacuum, there is the Bethlehem effect. And to think that you don't want to join in any retreat group or redoubt to a region to be surrounded by like-minded people because you'd rather just stay away from everyone and be left alone is dangerous thinking. I've heard people say, "I don't agree with this redoubt idea. My philosophy is I leave people alone and they leave me alone." Well, that's a great philosophy, except the bad guys don't share your philosophy. And during Teotihuacan, you will have to deal with them at some point or another. Because when General Bethlehem comes knocking, he's not going to just let you shoo him away. The problem with Teotihuacan, for those of you who don't know, that is an acronym, the end of the world as we know it. The problem with Teotihuacan is that it's not the end of the world, period. That would really simplify things, but it will be the end of the world as we know it, as we know it to be right now. When the world keeps turning and the sun keeps coming up every day, and as long as you're alive, you have to deal with whatever comes. If you're planning for Teotihuacan and you haven't incorporated communications, community rebuilding, and a community and beyond security plan into your thought process, you haven't thought it all the way through. Now, I agree, you start in little circles, then big circles, then bigger circles. So prepare to take care of yourself and then every individual in your family, then extended close family, then your neighbors, then your neighborhood, then your community, town, county, so on. But the day warlords rule and you've allowed the Bethlehem effect to take hold in your community, you are in trouble. What are warlords and what do they do? Well, they're tyrants who take what they want, who they want, when they want. They rape what they want. They eat what they want. And when you have two of these groups vying for power over the same turf, then you get recruited at gunpoint by one or the other. And innocent people get killed in crossfires, and it's a stinking mess. Wouldn't it be nice to have a safe haven to withdraw to in that kind of a situation? A refuge among like-minded people? Believe it or not, in Somalia, there was one such safe haven, or a redoubt, if you will. The Los Angeles Times ran a story about a safe haven community in Somalia back in 2005. The story is titled "Somalia's Welcome Warlord." In this particular case, the area's residents of a small town and its surrounding community became so worn down and desperate from the crime and the warlords and their men having their way within the community, that these people approached a well-off businessman slash warlord named Mohammed Omar Habeb from Mogadishu. And they offered to put him in charge of their community if he agreed to bring peace. This guy came in and did exactly what they asked him to do. He dropped the hammer and hard. He had some pretty big aspirations of running the country one day, like every other warlord does. But this guy actually did bring peace and was pretty brutal toward any other faction that threatened the community that he was protecting. He established a safe haven. People reportedly could once again walk down the street at night without fear of being assaulted. He was able to convince aid agencies to return to the area to bring food, medical treatment, and other aid, and he provided them security while they were able to do that. He established a 250-man police force and reestablished city government and promised to hold elections. Of course, they always seemed to have such a tough time getting a date set for the elections, although he did promise that when the elections did happen, he would step down and hand over power to whomever they elected if he lost the election. Just couldn't get the dang thing scheduled. Well, once again, be careful what you ask for, right? Remember, the philosopher Plato, he said, "This and no other is the root from which a tyrant springs. When he first appears, he is a protector." Yeah. And since then, 6 years ago, he's been arrested multiple times. Not Plato. Habeb. He's been arrested multiple times, including just last February of this year. He's been accused of being responsible for the deaths of thousands in his quest for power over the years. Many people now consider him a tyrant, guilty of crimes against humanity. But, as one resident said, he may be a warlord, but he's the best of the warlords. Well, it's kind of hard to argue with that. Out of desperation, they're willing to choose the lesser of 97 evils. And it's all evil over there. So what if you had enough armed people who are willing to draw a line in the sand and say, not here, not now, not ever, not on our watch? It's kind of hard to do that when you're disarmed and aren't organized. From what I know about this Mohammed Habeb, he started off well, as is usually the case, but They didn't put any control measures in place for accountability over this guy. Like one person there said, "We always said we would cooperate with whoever brought the peace." That's desperation. Being willing to follow anyone that can bring peace doesn't often end peacefully. I'm not blaming these people. They didn't know what else to do. They had lost all hope in any kind of government rising up and bringing order and justice. Every time a glimpse of a government starts to emerge there, it gets dashed against the rocks. So, like I said, I'm not getting down on these poor people who just so desperately want peace, but I'm just asking if there's a lesson to be learned here. Could this be avoided? I think so. I think the Bethlehem effect can be circumvented. Again, if the conditions are right. When a power vacuum takes place due to the breakdown in order in society, there's no effective government to step up and restore that order, make no mistake about it, someone will step up and take control. Power belongs to the people, or power belongs to the one who makes it to the top. And sometimes the measures they used to get to the top are the measures that define tyrants. Unless the tyrant can't get a foothold. Unless the people don't allow Bethlehem to get that far. So how do you do that? I'll share some of my thoughts on that when we come back. You're tuned in to Radio Free Readout.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Readout blog to learn more.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Thanks for being with us tonight. We've been talking about the Bethlehem Effect, and we've just visited a couple of examples, real-world examples, of what happens when there's a power vacuum. And we're going to talk about some ways to counter that should you find yourself living in a power vacuum after a societal breakdown, when government is either non-existent or, for one reason or another, has been rendered ineffective. And we're going to continue with that theme in just a minute. This week, we received a couple of emails from some people asking about how to download the podcast version of previous shows. There are a couple of ways to listen. The first of which is listening live, like you're doing right now if you're listening to the Stream Monster Player Sunday evening, June 26th, right after 7 p.m. Pacific or 8 p.m. Mountain. That, of course, starts playing automatically unless for some reason you need to hit your refresh button, like we mentioned earlier in the show. But afterward, we'll play an old-time radio episode, which just gives us time to queue up the recorded copy of the live broadcast, which we air right after the end of the old-time radio show. I love old-time radio. Detective shows, mysteries, and any of that kind of stuff from that era. I just love that kind of nostalgia stuff, and hopefully you've enjoyed them as well. Okay, we try to get the podcast version of the show updated or uploaded within a couple of hours after the live show, and you can listen to that by going to the Podbean player on the right side of the blog, and the most recent uploaded file will be on top of that menu, and we label that by which week it is and the theme title of that broadcast. To download, listen carefully. Over there on the Podbean player to the right, there's an icon that right next to it says website. If you click on that, it will take you to our Podbean site, www.radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com. There, you can put this bookmark it, put it into your favorites, so you can just go straight through it when you want. There you'll see a listing of our uploaded broadcasts with the latest upload being at the top of the list. You can listen to the podcast there as well, but under the play and pause button, you'll see some options like hide player, play in pop-up, download, and embeddable player. If you want to download the file, click on the download button and follow the instructions. At this time, we don't have these available on iTunes or any place other than Podbean, and we'll let you know if that changes. Tell your like-minded friends and your family about Radio Free Redoubt and about the American Redoubt. This movement is developing and it's growing and ever-changing. So we really value your ideas, your suggestions, and input to help perpetuate it. So the word redoubt means a stronghold or a safe haven or a defensible position. Defensible from what? Well, we know that a collapse of our economy is coming. We know that an accompanying societal collapse is probable. And we know that we live in an increasingly hostile culture. We also know that civility is fragile. And that when an empire is crippled, it's extremely vulnerable. Well, although we can't see into the future, we can look into the past. If something happens so drastic where government is not effective or temporarily unavailable or even non-existent, a power vacuum's left. If the people don't quickly organize and regain control of their communities, there's a history of the Bethlehem Effect taking hold with a tyrannical death grip put on the community. It's happened. It's happening today. So what do you do about it? Here are my suggestions. Number one, speed. If the country is unexpectedly and quickly decapitated, that is, you know, the leadership is removed, isolated, or rendered ineffective, there would likely be a window of time when everyone hunkers down for a while, just kind of hold their own, wondering what happened and wondering what will happen next. In any case, everyone has somewhat of a sense that help is on the way, so let's just sit tight. Then it turns into a neighbors helping neighbors kind of thing where everyone's getting along great. Now, I'm talking about a major catastrophic event, like an EMP attack or some other event that changes our world drastically, unexpectedly, and inclusively. The book One Second After by William Fortune, that would be a great example of this. If you haven't read it, read it. That's your reading assignment. Anyway, after the dust settles, you have to come out of your hole. Like I said, in week one's broadcast, you can't just lock your gate and say, screw the world for 5 years and expect to go back to the America that you know and love and pick up where you left off, run down to Costco, go to the movies. If you do have that mentality, then once you do open your gate, you'll be driving into General Bethlehem's territory and will no doubt pay homage for the privilege of breathing, unless you and your community beat him to the punch and quickly restore order, or at least assisted others in the process. You have to have speed. Actually, this one might have to be more accurately titled timing. You have to act before Bethlehem does, but not too soon, or you'll get pushed back from your community and you'll gain the Who Made You Boss Community Award, and you'll stifle future efforts. So timing's real important. At least it could. So speed timed properly. But you and your group can't and shouldn't do this alone unless you've already established yourself as a leader in the community. And that doesn't just mean the leader of your retreat group or home Bible study group. That brings us to number two, coordination. You have to be coordinated with others. You should be reaching out to others right now, building relationships. That means talking to other like-minded preppers and other people who realize there's danger on the horizon. Now, I know of people who are doing this right now. These are unofficial networks of people loosely connected, and they're laymen, businessmen, law enforcement, community leaders, church leaders, etc. Most of them aren't doing this as a Bethlehem effect countermeasure. They're doing it because they sense danger and significant change coming. But it'll be those relationships forged today that will be instrumental in for our security tomorrow, no matter what it is that we face. We'll talk more about coordinating and coordination in upcoming broadcasts. If you're not sure how to meet other preppers, go to survivalblog.com and click on the Finding Other Preppers link and start coordinating, just for exchanging ideas and for mutual support down the road. That'll be talked about more in the future too. When a major Teotihuacan event takes place, redoubters who are ham operators need to start coordinating. Also, you can start monitoring Channel 3 using the CH3 project model and start making contact with others. You might be surprised at how many people around you are like-minded and you just never cross paths. But it's then that you find that you have an ally 4 miles away across the valley and another one 3 miles away up on the mountainside. You never know, but you need to coordinate with others and before and after the event. And you need to coordinate with the right people. You'll need to come alongside trusted, established, reputable leaders in your community and tell them that you're there to help. Tell them, this is the danger that I see coming from all of this. This is my background. Here are my ideas. How can I help? This is what I bring to the table. And your credibility will be compounded if you've already established those relationships beforehand. After the fact, people will have the gain turned all the way up on their BS meter, and you just might get filtered out because you haven't established yourself with them. You haven't established credibility yet. You can't be a hermit or an isolationist and then grumble when society didn't turn out the way you wanted it to after you finally decided to come out of your hole. Number three, decisiveness. If the time comes, you need to move with a sense of purpose. At the first sign of organization, you'll see it or hear about it, where some copy machine salesman starts organizing a group that identifies itself as the new official authority of the town or the county. You'll have to watch closely and use good assessment. These might actually be helpful, well-intentioned groups that organize for security purposes, who conduct patrols of their own neighborhoods and communities and work to serve the citizens. They might just be like-minded good guys doing what they have the right to do and the moral obligation to do. Those are who you begin coordinating with as well. You'll be able to tell the difference real quick, though, because a future up-and-coming General Bethlehem will earn a reputation that will spread through the community very fast. You'll need to coordinate the securing of police stations, armories, and anything else that could hand a strategic advantage over to a warlord in the making. You may have to help secure any food, fuel, or medical storage facilities because Bethlehems are takers. regardless of the cost to your community. And if you see the makings of a warlord coming into view in your community, you have to confront him on your terms, decisively. That means you call the shots. You don't wait for him to come to you, and you do it quickly. Because if Bethlehem gets a foothold, woe to you and yours. And this guy better be a no-kidding bad guy who has placed your community in grave danger. And you shouldn't make those decisions unilaterally. You seek wise counsel and advice from others who are objective, level-headed, solid, clear-thinking men. And be ready to take action, not rash, knee-jerk responses, but well-thought-out, deliberate actions with a clear objective of protecting your community. Number 4, unity in effort. No one agrees with everyone on everything all the time, but everyone has got to be united in their common goals. And that is to keep the people safe and secure, to rebuild the community, to reestablish trade, to attempt to normalize your lifestyles. Of course, that might mean a new normal. What's normal? But you need to strive towards stability, and nothing will destabilize a community or a region faster than a bunch of groups and individuals who aren't unified. This is a big fear of mine. There are some really good people out there who will do the right thing. But I worry about all the little self-adulating, self-appointed generals trying to build their own little kingdoms. It happens. We've seen it in the Balkans, in Africa, the Middle East, in South America, Asia, and in more countries than I can even recall. It is so prevalent in times of instability that this can't be ignored. If you are coordinated and you're decisive, you have to all be working toward the same goal. I believe in the American militia. But you can't allow your egos to get in the way and your feelings hurt and you decide to start turning on each other and vying for power. I would think that an arbitrating body would have to be established that could promote that unity of effort and avoid the squabbling between factions so they don't become warring factions. That would be really, really bad. Unity of effort. And use people that are already in the community who have established themselves. The people have already voted in. Number 5, preparedness. Finally, you need to be prepared. More and more people are talking about preparedness, and it's becoming a popular trend. And as a minimum, you should have food and supplies to last you for a year with absolutely no outside help. But you need to really be prepared in your mind. You need to realize that bad things happen and not just to other people in the news. You need to get that into your head. You need to be prepared to meet predators head on. You need to be able to defend yourself, because I don't care how passive you think you are right now. When bad men are doing things to your family before your eyes, or you're watching them, your family starve to death because you were powerless to stop someone from taking your family's food and there's no resupply, you'd do anything at that moment to make it stop. But then it's too late. Plus, if you're not prepared logistically and not self-sufficient, you'll have to go to someone for a handout, even if it's for just a bowl of soup. And if you have to go to General Bethlehem because he has all the soup, it's going to come at a very steep price.
The lifeblood of a community, a state, and a nation is its economy. All across America, the effects of a crippled global economy are being felt. But in any economic downturn, there are always isolated pockets where communities and regions thrive or fare better than others. Take that into consideration when you make financial choices, both big and small. Support locally owned businesses and industries whenever you can, especially those which are patriot or Christian owned. A stronger local economy means a stronger American redoubt.
Okay, right before the short break, we were talking about item number 5 on countering the Bethlehem effect, and I didn't quite get to finish my thoughts on that. Number 5 was preparedness. Preparing now, tying it in with the number 2 on the list, coordination. You need to prepare by discussing some of these things with like-minded redoubters. It's important that you're in agreement in a plan to deal with a legitimately evil warlord, tyrant dictator like General Bethlehem, but more importantly, you need to prepare spiritually. You need to be in the Word, and you need to ask for guidance in every decision you make, because there's only one thing worse than going through Teotihuacan, and that is going through Teotihuacan without God. I agree with Mr. Rawls. Read and meditate on Psalms 91 daily. Now, those are just five ways you can counter the Bethlehem effect. There's more you can do, and we could do a three-week series just on that topic alone. But I just wanted to get you kind of thinking about that aspect in spite of everything we could be facing. And remember, these are just my thoughts. If any of you have any other thoughts or insights, I'd love to hear them. Feel free to contact us with anything you think might be helpful in strengthening the American Redoubt and the other redoubts around America and even the world. Little pockets of redoubters will be sprouting up all over the place. Speaking of pockets of redoubts, thank you for the feedback we asked for from those of you who attended the Flathead Preparedness Expo and dragged your friends and family to the event as well, kicking and screaming, I'm sure. It sounds like y'all had a great time, and I'm so bummed out I couldn't join you this time around. I had some schedule conflicts, and I wasn't able to make it. Also, Chuck Baldwin's office reported in, and their assessment was consistent with the reports that we received from our other listeners. They said they had a continuous flow of people coming through the doors and sold out of nearly every DVD that they had on hand. So great job. Congratulations to Mr. Baldwin and your entire staff who worked tirelessly to make it all of it a success. A great job to those of you who attended and supported the event. That adds to the success and strength of the event, and I'm sure we can look forward to it next year and hopefully for years to come. And it strengthens the American Redoubt. It all adds up. Keep those letters of support rolling in. You have no idea how much we value your words of encouragement and would really like to hear your feedback. Your ideas for improving Radio Free Redoubt and perpetuating the American Redoubt will only help us get better. And you know what? Let James Rawls know as well. He gets hundreds of emails a day, so just a simple one-liner saying, we support the American Redoubt. This isn't about Radio Free Redoubt. This is about the movement. We support the American Redoubt. That'll be encouraging to him and an inspiration. Remember, though, sometimes I stick my foot in my mouth. So remember, my opinions are my own. They don't necessarily reflect the views and opinions of James Rawls or Survival Blog or Chuck Baldwin or anyone else. We're not affiliated with either of them, any of them. But we do support and endorse the work that they both do. Right after today's show, we'll be airing the episode of I Was a Communist for the FBI. Today's show titled, I Can't Sleep. We hope you enjoy it. And then in about 28 minutes from now, we'll be re-airing the show that you just heard, as always, in case you missed any of it. Don't forget, you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous shows at your leisure by clicking on the broadcast you want to hear on the Podbean podcast player on the right of the blog. Those are available for download 24 hours a day. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening tonight. We always hope that you find tonight's show informative, encouraging, and inspirational. We ask that you remember us in your prayers and give us wisdom and proper perspective. Have a blessed and prosperous week, and may the Lord bless your home, your family, and all that you set your hand to. Good night.